Last weekend, by tradition, of course, is called Good Shepherd Sunday because Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. If we were to name this Sunday in our own time, perhaps we could call it Double Facepalm Sunday because two of the apostles are manifesting their ignorance, that they just don't quite get it yet. You can see Jesus almost going, okay. But it's a great mercy, as all of the Lord's and the disciples' actions, that the God can use all of those for our benefit, and certainly these two apostles. First, Thomas, not knowing the way. Jesus has been telling the apostles that they are going to Jerusalem so that he may enter into his glory. He's told this to them multiple times, and also that the way of glory leads through suffering, so that suffering is a necessary part of the way to glory. And the disciples have resisted that teaching of Jesus all the way. And yet we know that here at the Last Supper, he's telling them again that he will soon enter into his glory, but that way leads through the cross. So that he not only is going on the way himself, but as he tells Thomas, he himself is the way. So when we follow Jesus, when we seek to model our life on the Lord's, that we follow Jesus on the way, might not exactly literally be the same as Jesus' way, but that because we are following Jesus, that we are following him on the way, and we are following him to his destination, which of course is glory. And then Philip, asking Jesus to manifest the Father. I mean, that's the whole point of the incarnation, of God becoming flesh, is that Jesus shows us the Father by everything that he does, everything that he says, every miracle that he works. But I think in Philip's defense that there is something in his heart that is telling him that everything that Jesus has done so far, as marvelous and wonderful as it is still not the full revelation of the Father. Yes, Jesus has taught. Yes, Jesus has preached. Jesus has worked miracles. Jesus has raised the dead. But in one way or another, the Old Testament is filled with those miracles, of those ways of God manifesting himself. And again, Philip is perhaps getting a sense that this isn't quite enough. And of course, Philip is right, that the fullness of God's love will be manifested on the cross the next day when Jesus offers his life on the cross. So that when we look at a crucifix, we see through the shameful, ignominious death, but to the expression of the Father's love for all of humanity and for each of us individually. If you remember a couple of weeks ago, in Father Vincent's homily, he was talking about an encounter he had when he worked at Catholic Answers, of a woman calling in saying that she really struggled with the idea of sacrifice and the cross. And Father Vincent, in a moment of inspiration, because he said himself that it really wasn't him speaking, but he said, no, what you are having trouble with is the idea that God could love you that much. And indeed, that is a true statement, that when we look at the cross, we see the Father. We see the Father's love for us. That the Father held nothing back to accomplish our reconciliation with himself. and indeed through the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus, to give us a dignity greater than we had at the beginning, to be God's very adopted children, that what Jesus was by nature, we are to become by grace. And so we see that by living our vocation, by living our way of life, we become stones in the building, to use St. Peter's image in the second reading, that by becoming the people that God created us to be and using the gifts available to us by our baptism, by our confirmation, to mirror Jesus, to mirror the Father in all that we say and do, that we manifest our status as God's beloved children. And in the first reading, when we hear of the institution of deacons, we see that even in the early church, as if seeing the imperfection of the apostles was not enough, that that there will be imperfections in the church since the very beginning and until the end of time. But this is not an obstacle to God's working. And indeed, God often uses it as a way to manifest even greater love, even greater power than if all things were going perfectly. And today, we also celebrate Mother's Day, the maternal love that is such a beautiful image of God's love for us. We celebrate those women who gave us life, who cooperated with our fathers and cooperated with God in bringing us to birth and to raise us up to be hopefully not just good human beings, but good Christians as well. So we pause on this day to thank these women for their love, for their overwhelming love for us, an image of God's overwhelming love for us, his creatures. And that as we thank them, whether they be still with us in this life or not, that we then pay it forward as Jesus is paying it forward, that he entrusted his mission to us, that we thank God for the gifts that we have been given by grace, by being powerful disciples, by being those whom he has entrusted that mission. So we seek to thank the Lord by embracing the gifts that he has given us and going forth and extending his word, his mission to the ends of the earth.